Thank you, Arlen. It is a wonderful time of the year, is it not? And we want to keep focused on the real reason for the season. Amen. We'd like to do a little bit of that this morning. I'd like to begin with a question, like I often do. This is just a two-word question. Why Jesus? Simple enough question. But why Jesus? Why born as a baby? Why the story? Why Jesus? Why a baby born over 2,000 years ago, still celebrated today? Was it just to give us a holiday called Christmas? No, we know better than that. Couldn't God have done it some other way? Why did he choose to begin the story with a baby in a manger? Why Jesus? Isaiah, the prophet, speaks a lot, prophesied a lot about the coming of Jesus Christ. So did a lot of the other prophets, but Isaiah did a lot. And we're going to look at a couple of his prophecies. Micah also. So why not Isaiah? Why Jesus? Why not Isaiah? Why not Micah? Why not Muhammad? Why Jesus? Why not Buddha? Why Jesus? Why Jesus? Two words. To answer that question, I think we have to go back to Genesis. But before we do that, I would like to look at a few of the prophecies. God chose to remind humanity through those first 4,000 years after creation. God chose to remind humanity that Jesus is coming. And I'd like to look at a few of those. Can we read it together? Isaiah 7:11. Isaiah prophesied approximately 700 years before Christ. Can we read this? Therefore, the Lord himself. And so we're given a few facts there in the highlighted section. Number one, a virgin, 700 years before it happened. He went into some detail, and he said, a virgin shall conceive. This virgin will bear a son, not a daughter. And God wanted this son to be given the name Emmanuel, which means, what does that mean? God with us. God with us, Emmanuel. So Isaiah gave us some pretty clear facts. Let's read another prophecy out of Isaiah. Are you ready? For unto us, what a list for this child's name. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. The Mighty God? The Everlasting Father? This child that is born? Micah prophesied, he was a contemporary of Isaiah, so he prophesied around 700 years before this event. Let's read what he has to say. Are you ready? But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are little, from everlasting. Doesn't that arouse your curiosity? This child shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. This child whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. But there's something really interesting in this verse. You know, when a baby is born, even today, and the baby is born and often presented to the mother or the father after it's cleaned up a little bit. Notice that wording. This is God speaking. And he says, you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me. Already indicating that this shall be a son of God. Out of you shall come forth unto me. It's amazing prophecies about this baby in a manger. We can go further back than 700 years. Let's go back to Genesis. We're familiar with this. After the fall, God's little chat with Adam and Eve and the snake. And this is what he said to the serpent. Let's read that together. Are you ready? And I will put enmity. And so it was. He was bruised for our iniquities. And who did that bruising? It was the devil himself. But God promising way back in Genesis that there's going to be a seed, a child, a birth that's going to settle it all. And we can go even further back. Let's read out of Revelation. Ready? And all that dwell upon the earth, slain from the foundation of the world. This lamb, now we're getting into the death of Jesus Christ. This lamb, this sacrificial lamb, was slain from the foundation of the world. And I don't think we're on any dangerous territory to assume that if he was slain from the foundation of the earth, he was born from the foundation of the earth. This plan was not some kind of a quick fix that God had to come up with after the fall. This plan was in motion before the foundation of the world. This baby in a manger. So, can I ask you again? But why? Why all that? Why? Why, Jesus? Why this birth? Why this plan from the foundation of the world? Why such detail in the prophecies of this child? I told you we have to go back to Genesis to start trying to answer that question. So let's do that. And you can turn to these. I've got them all up here so that we can read them together. I like that. Let's read Genesis 1:31 for a foundation. Are you ready? And God saw everything It's very good. It's perfect. It was very good. It was a perfect world. No sickness, no death, no stress, no pain, no thorns, no thistles, no curse. God saw everything He had made, and God made for humanity a perfect world. We know what happened to that perfect world, don't we? It didn't take long. And we can't get on Adam's and Eve's case, because if they would have made it, you and I would have messed up. But we know what happened to the perfect world. Let's read it. Here's the story. Are you ready? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. What a shame! What a shame! A beautiful, perfect world. A beautiful garden that I don't think we could imagine. And they could eat of all the various fruits from that garden. Animals together, not fighting. But that one tree that God said, "No, no, don't eat from that tree." The devil comes along and he does what he does to this very day. He lies. And he calls God a liar. He says, "You shall not surely die." God's lying to you. And so they took of that fruit and they did eat. And that is where all of our troubles started. Genesis chapter 3. Sickness moves in. Death moves in. Aging process moves in. Deterioration of our bodies moves in. Anger, blame, backbiting, malice. You name it. It all started right there. Right there, Genesis chapter 3. No longer was the world perfect. We know people with cancer. We know people that are dying of cancer. That started in Genesis chapter 3. Think about it. But the most terrible thing that started in Genesis chapter 3 is what's highlighted. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's a beautiful picture. It probably happened many times before. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You can't hide from God. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what your standing is with God today, but I got news for you. You can't hide from Him. They thought they'd try it. Jonah thought he'd try it. We talked about that last Sunday up in Elkhart. They thought they'd try it. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. You know, the worst thing that sin brings is separation from God. That's the worst thing. That's the worst thing. We have men, we have women that are living in such wickedness and perversion because they're separated from God. Separated. It's not a perfect world anymore. There's no more walking with God in the cool of the day. They're hiding themselves. And they got driven from the garden. And so it's been through the years, through the centuries. This sin has been passed down to you and me, this sin nature. And the Bible would indicate that men were the ones responsible. It is the man who, in the reproductive cycle, sends life to the egg, to fertilize the egg and bring that to life. It's the man who passes life on. We read about that in different places. Exodus 1:5, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls that came out of the loins. I thought the women had the babies. Well, they do. But the Bible is indicating that through the man, life is passed on. It's the way we're designed. And another place, let's read this one together. This is in Hebrews, talking about Melchizedek and how Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, this priest, this unknown priest, who says, without father, without mother. And that Jesus Christ is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This Melchizedek comes on the scene. Abraham pays tithes to him. And then it says here in Hebrews, let's read it together. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. It's saying that Levi is the priest. He's the priesthood. He symbolizes the priesthood in the Jewish economy. And you had to pay tithes to the priest. You had to bring your offerings to the priest. So who is this greater person that the Levitical priest would have to pay tithes to? It was Melchizedek. And it says that Levi paid tithes because he was in Abraham's loins. Now you have Abraham, and you have his son Isaac, and you have his son Jacob, and then you have the 12 sons of Jacob, of which Levi is one. So we're talking about a great-grandson in the loins of Abraham paying tithes, and the Bible recognizes that. You see, life, and unfortunately the sin nature, is handed down through us men. I have another one. Out of Romans 5, are you ready? Let's read it together. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There you have it, in a nutshell. This thing that happened back in Genesis chapter 3, brought death, brought all the troubles that we experience, the deterioration, the arguments, the fighting, the desire to sin, the desire to run from God, the desire to be my own self, all of that by one man. Who was that man? Adam. Adam. And that has passed down through the generations to you and to me. We have a sin problem. All have sinned. It's passed down. One more. Real easy. Let's read it together. For as in Adam, all die. So it is. We have a sin problem. And so you see, all men are separated from God. All men, all women, separated from God. Passed down. The sin nature's passed down. The punishment's passed down. Death is passed down. Eternity in hell as our judgment is passed down. We got a problem. There's nothing that any man could do about this because every man had it passed down to them. Muhammad had it passed down to him. Buddha had it passed down. Isaiah had it passed down. Micah. You name someone, anyone. There's no man found. Because all have sinned. As in Adam, all died. Separated from God. And it's passed down. Through the males. No one. No one can close that gap. No man was found. You know, I think God is more concerned about that gap than men have been. Did you hear me? I think God is more concerned about that gap than most men or women. God did something about that gap. God had a plan about that gap from the foundation of the world. God had a plan already in place. From the foundation, to take care of that gap. That's worth saying amen about. Amen? If you're a visitor here, welcome visitors. I'm sorry, I should have said that at the beginning. You're welcome here. But you can say amen. Visitors only. Visitors only. Ready? Amen. Thank you, visitors. Amen. God had a plan to take care of that gap from the foundation of the world. That's almost hallelujah stuff, but we'll slow down. It is hallelujah stuff. God had a plan. Let's refresh. We already read these, so I just kind of listed here. This is the details of his plan that were given to us. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name God with us. His name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Out of you shall come forth to me. God had a plan. The one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. God had a plan. Some amazing details that are given to us. We see the fulfillment of that plan in the Christmas story. Let's read it out of Matthew 1, just grabbing verse 18 and then 21 through 23. Let's read it together. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus.
Amen. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So why Jesus? Why Jesus? Because Jesus Christ is the one. The Holy Ghost. God spoke the word. God spoke the word, and Mary's egg was brought to life by the power of the Holy Ghost. So the sin nature would not be passed on through that life that made that egg living. It was God Himself. That's why Jesus. Because there's no man found. No man. So God had this plan from the foundation of the world. And we just read it in a simple Christmas story. A beautiful plan at that. And so Jesus Christ Himself, born without sin. That was the start. Now He had to live His life on this earth without sinning. Oh, the devil tempted Him. The devil made big promises. The devil lied to Him, just like he does you and me. But Jesus Christ was victorious. And He never sinned. Sinless. Sinless. Perfectly sinless. And it started in a manger. So it took a sinless human who was born without that sin nature, who lived a life without sinning, and he had to experience the punishment of sin. He experienced the punishment of sin for you and for me and for all men and for all women. He experienced death. And he experienced separation from his Father. When he cried out on the cross, when he gave up the ghost, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He experienced the separation. He experienced the punishment of sin. And he didn't have to. He was born sinless, and he lived sinless. But that's what it took, brothers and sisters, to bridge the gap, was his death. And he beat death too, because after 3 days in the grave, he burst from that grave. I don't think he just walked out. I think he burst. That's the power. We read about the power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ is the only one that can bridge that gap. There's no other. There's no other name given among men except the name Jesus Christ that can bridge that gap. You got a lot of religions today. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is the only one. Oh, it's the goodness of God, is it not, to provide us a second chance at a perfect world. Oh, it's not here. We're still living with the effects of sin. But we've got a promise. Shaheen and I were talking just this week about the hope that we have. Our hope is not based on, I hope the weather's nice today. That's an empty hope. There's no foundation. But we have a hope of heaven and eternal life that's based on, it's a living hope. It's based on truth. It's based on fact. We have a living hope. The goodness of God bridges that gap from the foundation of the world, folks. I just want to get one more picture of this baby in a manger that I'd like to leave you with. And the only words that I can use to describe it is perfect sinlessness. Perfect sinlessness. To get this picture, I need to show you again. This is what God said back in Genesis 3 when all the trouble started. And God spoke to the serpent. We already read that. Now he's speaking to Eve. Let's read what the effects of sin on the woman was together. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. I told you that Isaiah does a lot of prophesying about the birth of Jesus. And a lot of times the prophecies have a double meaning. And in the last chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah is talking to Israel. And he's talking to them about God calling his people back to himself. It's actually the church. Calls it Zion. Isaiah 66. And in that prophecy, he says this. Can we read it together? Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Mary, because this baby who was perfect sinlessness, Mary never experienced the pain of childbirth. That's a beautiful. God took care of every detail to show you why Jesus. Every detail. This child was born without sin, passed on to him. And Mary did not experience the pain of childbirth. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Brothers and sisters, this baby in a manger, there's none like him. And there never will be. As we go through this Christmas season, as we celebrate with our friends and our family, we're looking forward to family. Angie's already here. And Josh's will be at our house by the time we get home. And everybody's coming over today. And some are spending the night, even though they live just around the corner. And we're just going to celebrate. And we're going to eat a lot of food. Berkshires love appetizers. You you're doing the same thing. Brothers and sisters, celebrate the season. But don't forget the reason. It's all about a baby. Perfectly sinless. In a manger. To bridge the gap. For you and me. Hallelujah. What a Savior. That's the babe in the manger. That's what Christmas is all about. Forget the cheap Santa Claus. God have mercy. The Christmas story is so exciting. Perfect sinlessness. Celebrate. Let's pray. Father God, this morning we just thank you, we praise you. We are